Okay, so spiritual maturity and growing in spiritual maturity, growing in our walks with the Lord, growing and maturing in our knowledge of God and in our knowledge of the Word. The first time that I ever presented the Word, any type of Bible study of any sort, since I'd really, really been living with the Lord, it was probably 6 months in to my walk with the Lord, and it was with a group of Marines. It was in the middle of the desert. It was 29 Palms, California, and we didn't have anything to do, and I still had to bribe them to sit through it. And so I was completely nervous and completely overjoyed at the opportunity to do so, and a little worked and perplexed at how I'm going to reach these, you know, tough Marines. It's like Marines don't want to hear, you know, the mushy-gushy stuff of the Word is the way that, you know, it's commonly perceived. It's a weak thing and so on and so forth, which is really not the case at all. But post that Bible study afterwards, I remember being so struck and amazed at, overjoyed at the impact that it had, even with these tough Marines, that preaching the Word, even the littlest bit of the knowledge of God to people that know nothing of it, there's so much hope in the message, and there's so much inside of every person that needs hope, and that needs hope in the Lord specifically, because the purpose of our creation is that we would come into encounter and come into the relationship with that's our place of fulfillment, that's our place of being complete. And I was so astounded with it, because I knew so little. And I felt like I was so not anointed, and I felt like I had just such a dull, slim, you know, slim knowledge of the Word, but just the littlest piece of knowledge of God to somebody who has nothing just moved and meant so much. And it was really incredible. From then on, I kind of went on to a journey of preaching the Word and speaking to the Marines. And amidst a lot of travel from then until now, I've been to a lot of different churches and a lot of different ministries and a lot of different bodies of Christ, and so many have so many of the same teachings, but varying teachings and varying ideas and varying thoughts and varying theological mentalities, varying focuses, and so on and so forth. And I realized early on how important it was that I be mature myself, and that I come into a really grounded and founded knowledge of the Word and of God, that I won't be swayed back and forth, that I won't be taken. You know, so often, if any of you have experienced it, whenever we come into a lot of varying ideas, specific to Christian ideas, specific to in the church, we hear this from this preacher or pastor, and it's contradicted by somebody else, and somebody else has a different idea, and somebody else has a different idea. A lot of times we get so confused, and we get discouraged, and we get distraught, and it just leads us to just kind of want to give up and sit back, because we're not really sure what to believe. We don't know which way to take things. We don't know which way to articulate what the Word says in this verse based off of this historical evidence or this information or that information or whatever the case may be. It's just so crucially important that we grow as individuals into a place of maturity in our knowledge and our understanding, that we're not swayed back and forth by these things. So currently, in our day, there's a vast array of varying ideas. This is inside the church and outside the church. And we're in what's called the postmodernistic or the postmodern period. If you are familiar with different time periods, this is kind of specifically attributed to the mainstream secular thought process on reality, if you want to sum it up, on answering the big questions. Why are we here? Who are we? What is reality? What's real and what's not real? So on, so on, so forth. And the postmodernistic take on things is that there is no truth, capital T. There's no truth, there's only truths. There's only factual information, but there is no solid truth. And what that's bred and what that's led to is everybody can kind of believe whatever they want to. Something could be true for you, and that's fine, but it doesn't have to be true for me, because over here, this is what's true for me, and this is what's true for you. And we can all get along with that, and we can all be okay with that. And there's so many ideas floating and fluttering around, specifically in America. You know, you'll notice that terminology, Christian terminology, terminology of God, terminology of Jesus, prayer, heaven, hell, terminology and conceptual ideas are floating around by everyone. You hear it on the media. Whenever there's a bombing in a particular place, or there's a natural disaster, or there's a this, that, or the other, everybody's striking up prayer initiatives to pray for different places. And the America in general, we have such a foundation in Christianity, but we've strayed so far from it that so many people have concepts of Christianity, but they're not founded, they're not rooted, and they're not grounded in anything. And for a young believer who has the most sincere intentions, to not continue growing in our foundation in the Word and in a correct knowledge of the Lord, it's so easy to be pulled and swayed every which way. And this is what we want to avoid. As Americans, we're entitled to opinions. You know, everywhere we go, we think that it's completely okay. We have to be right. Nobody's going to come against me and tell me that I'm wrong. I'm gonna do exactly what I'm going to do because I know that it's real and because I know that it's right. And whenever I have a problem with anything, it's perfectly okay for me voicing my opinion and maintaining it. And the problem is, a lot of times, a lot of the opinions that are being thrown around aren't really grounded in anything. Somebody hears something from someone else that has no foundation, and they hold it as an absolute truth. And these are tendencies that we develop in our culture, and these are things that we don't want to maintain. I could hear something from a pulpit at a church, from a preacher who even I trust, but I don't have the information grounded for myself, and I promote it, and I promote it, and then I pick something else up, and I promote that, and I pick something else up, and I promote that. There's just a tendency that we have of picking up things without a proper foundation, without a proper maturity, and we run with it, and it just leads to problems. Can I get the first verse, please? So Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. Paul just got done talking about the fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, preachers, teachers, evangelists. And anyway, he's the focus, the end result that he's searching for is this, is Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. The intended result of the fivefold ministry is that that specific structure would build the church up to unity. I'll just read it. 4:14 through 15. And this is what it says. Then, this is the result. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. So the intention of the fivefold ministry, the intention of the way that the Lord put the fivefold ministry together, which is you could call it the ideal Christian ministry, is that the body of Christ would come into unity and that we would grow up in all things under Christ, that we would no longer be infants tossed back and forth, that we would grow into a mature state. That's on an individual level and on a corporate level and regarding the bigger body of Christ. Next verse, if you can get it, 2 Peter 17 through 18. All good, I'll read it. If y'all want to flip there, you can. 2 Peter 17 through 18. It says, "Be on your guard, so that you would not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So we have to be guarded against all these false things. Not even necessarily false things, just things in general. We don't want to believe things that are not, that we don't know to be grounded in the Word. But we can be guarded, we can be plenty guarded, but if we don't develop our foundation of knowledge from which to grow from, then being guarded is ultimately useless. We don't have any truth to balance or weigh falsities or false things against. So the way that we stand our guard, the way that we guard ourselves from being taken, from being deceived, from falling into false things, is that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the problems with distortions from truth, with distorted messages, there's right now there's varying ideas. There's super false things that are blatantly against Christianity, that are against the truth of the Word. Postmodernistic thought is very, very, very anti-Christian. But there's also distortions to truth that are promoted in different ministries and different churches, more so now than used to. And one of the problems with these distortions is that they're often so closely intertwined with truth, and there's so much truth that is there's so many true things that are spoken, but there may be one or two things that are very deleterious in nature that are promoted with these messages. And so again, it's so crucially important that I grow in my knowledge of the Word. I grow in my knowledge of the Lord. Now there's a lot of processes, a lot of ways that we grow into spiritual maturity. There's a lot of ways that we grow into maturity as Christians, and then we grow into maturity in the knowledge of God. I'm going to kind of narrow in. There's so many that you could talk about. There's God's process. He has a process of maturing us, and then we have things that we can choose to mature in, that we can choose to implement into our lives so that we mature. So there's really two sides to the same coin. Now, there's a lot of things that we can choose to do to mature. And really, there's more that God does than what I'm about to talk about. But next slide, if you can get it. It's James 1, 2 through 4. We all know this verse very, very well. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So one of the ways, I'd say the primary way that the Lord takes us into a place of maturity in our walks with Him is through through life experience. He takes us into trying circumstances primarily. Pressure breeds strength. And the thing about going into trials and going into hardships and going into problems and going into problematic seasons is that it causes us to lean on the Lord more. It humbles us and it takes away our pride. It shows us how incapable we are of maintaining ourselves. There's so many aspects of why God does what He does and why God takes us through different seasons of life. But I guess the emphasis is that He takes us through experiential, circumstantial seasons of life, training us and maturing us in the faith, maturing our faith in Him. Just some different examples, biblical examples that you can look at. You look at Joseph's life. Joseph had dreams when he was very, very, very young about very specific things of rising to a place of prominence over his brothers. That didn't actually come into fruition. That didn't happen out until way later in his life. And the in-between period, as most of you all know the story, is going into slavery, going into prison, is being burdened, going into very, very hard seasons, very problematic times. But the Lord brought him up through it. The Lord was training him through it. Moses, he had a very specific training, a very specific way that the Lord was maturing him. You think about the differences between these two is that Moses was brought up in the midst of royalty. He was brought up with no problems. He was on top of everything. He was learned. He was experienced. He had all the schooling that he could possibly have. Joseph was in a dungeon. Joseph wasn't being taught arithmetic and so on and so forth. Moses was being taught. He was being trained. And then the Lord took him out into the desert for 40 years. To root out certain things and implement certain things before the Lord wanted to launch him into his ministry. Samuel was brought up under a priest, and he was brought up in the temple. He was brought up close to the Ark of the Covenant. He was brought up learning the ways of the Lord. He didn't really have a whole lot of dungeon. He wasn't brought up in a secular world and training like Moses was. He wasn't in Babylon like Daniel was, but it was very specific. David also, he had a very one. I mean, you can look at every single Bible character and see so many differences in the way that the Lord trained them, but almost all of them had some implementation of hardship, some implementation of rigor, some pressure that was bringing them up, that was drawing them into maturity, that was strengthening them, that was developing their confidence in the Lord, so on and so forth. But there's differences. The way that the Lord's going to bring me up and train me might look similar to some of you, but it's not going to look exactly the same. It might, you know, y'all, just every individual is going to go through different things in their life, different seasons, and different ways that the Lord's going to train and build people up for specific callings one day. To some, it might be like Moses. It might be going to college. It might be gaining secular knowledge and secular brilliance, secular whatever. It might be working a secular job. Maybe the Lord will prepare some to go into business for very specific reasons. Maybe others the Lord wants to stay as far away from school as possible and to spend all of their time in the Word and in prayer, working a meager job with very, very little income, seemingly going nowhere in life. The Lord has very specific ways of training each and every person, and I can't expect mine to look perfectly like anyone else's. Now, I can take... I can use other people's life examples, and I can let that build my faith, and I can take godly wisdom, and that's certainly a good thing. But it's important to seek out the Lord's process for maturing me, that I don't get swerved in any other particular way. Okay, we're going to go on to our process. There's other ways that the Lord is going to mature people, that the Lord's going to bring people up in Him. But you see different biblical examples. You see how He does it. You see His principles of taking us through hardship for the sake of growth and strength, for growth and dependence in Him. You see different ways that He does this. And you look back on certain seasons of hardship that the Lord takes us into, and you see the fruit that was born from it. That's something that strikes me so much, is that I look back in seasons of hardship, seasons in Afghanistan, seasons of prior to or after, times that I thought my world was wrecked, And I see it seemed like I'm doing everything perfect. I'm still living biblically. I'm living wholehearted, and the Lord takes me into such a rough season. And I look back on some of those a year later, and I say, I see exactly what you were doing, Lord. I had no idea what was happening at that time. But I see now the fruit that was born out of those seasons. And that's a real good confidence to have. Because as we pursue maturity and as we pursue growing in our knowledge of the Lord and growing in our knowledge of the Word, He's going to continue taking us through these seasons. So we need to maintain our hope and our focus and our vision that we can continue pressing through them, knowing that we will know why after. We'll be able to see the fruit. Okay, our process. First and foremost, we say yes to God's process. You know, just going back to a brand new believer that comes into the Lord, there's so many alluring things that draw people into salvation. There's hope. There's a future. To think that somebody so high and lofty would die so that I can go to heaven. There's so many pros as to why I would want to come and to live my life as a Christian. There's so many different opportunities to be had, but without a correct vision of all that it entails later on, many fall back, many fall off because they don't have any grid for the hardship that it entails. They don't have any grid for the way that the Lord's going to bring them up in hardship, for the way that the Lord's going to mature people. And so often, a person will come to the Lord and they'll think that everything's wonderful and there's a lack of discipleship in their life to instruct them rightly, that this word contains far much more evidence of the Lord breaking them down and ending their life so that He can begin His through them. And they back off. So it's important that we understand His process and the way that He does things, that we would say yes to it and maintain vision through it. Secondly, there are things that we choose. That we choose to either pursue or not pursue. The book of Hebrews, the focus of the book of Hebrews, is addressing a group of believers, a messianic believers, that Jews that are living outside of Israel anyway, or that's the suspected thing, that are in danger of falling away from the faith. That's just the scope that I want to look at. One of their problems is that they're neglecting the study of the Word of God. Can I go to the next? This is kind of long, but I'm going to read it anyway. Okay, it says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need milk to teach. You still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on into maturity. We go on to the next one. I'm going to develop that in just a second. Actually, I'm going to develop it right now. So first and foremost, our pursuit of maturity in the Lord 100% starts with the Word. We have no way of knowing our lifestyle, the choices that we're supposed to make, the things that we're supposed to implement into our lives if we don't constantly intake what that is. But the thing that changes us is our knowledge of the Lord. I mature as a Christian when I come into a greater maturity of who God is. And that's what enables me and builds me to implement the lifestyle and to maintain obedience is my connection with the Father. And my way of learning about Him and my way of growing in Him is through the Word. He's given me His Word that it would move. Hebrews 4 says that the Word is living and active, and it says that it pierces us down to the dividing line between soul and spirit. And we can't actually even think about where that is. That's not something that we can physically or mentally perceive. That's deeper than we can actually perceive. So what I can take away from that verse is that when I read the Word or when I hear the Word in meditation, when I'm hearing the Lord, primarily when I'm reading it, when I'm taking it in, it's doing things in me deeper than I can actually fathom. When I'm bored and I'm reading the Word, it's still making change in my life. It's still enabling me to grow. It's still changing and shifting things. And one of the things that I notice more and more, anybody that has evangelized, anybody in general, any Christian that is constantly taking in the Word, it will come back in the best times. You're going through a terrible time and a verse will pop into your head that the Lord will remind you of. You're evangelizing to somebody. You have no idea what you're going to say and the Lord starts giving you verses. You're praying for somebody and the Lord starts giving you verses, just so on, so on, so forth. It's our means of growing in our knowledge of who God is. Can you find those quotes? So A.W. Tozer, a phenomenal theologian, wrote many, many books. This comes out of the knowledge of the holy. First quote, he says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And then second, the gravest question before the church is always God himself. And the most portentous fact, which is like potentially detrimental, the most portentous fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like. If our worldview, if our sense of reality includes the Lord, then it means a multitude of things. And if we have any misconceptions about who God is, and if we have any misconceptions about the way that he is, his plan, his big plan, from creation, fall, redemption, and glorification from there on out, if I have a misconception of the nature of who he is and who he expects me to be and growing into Christ-likeness, what I believe affects every decision that I make. And if my worldview is going to be right, it has to include the Lord. My knowledge of the Lord affects every area of my life. It'll affect every decision that we make. And many will look back on their lives and say that they did not. They'll come to the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll recognize that they pursued a lot of things, but they were maybe swerved off a little bit. Christians, because they didn't correctly perceive, they didn't rightly see who God was, and they didn't rightly see the character development that they were supposed to come into. This is just, it's such an important thing that we grow into maturity in our knowledge of the Lord and in our knowledge of the Word. Can you go back to that other verse, please, Sean? So here's the promise, or here's a promise. Be careful to obey the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you would be successful wherever you go. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So this is written to a very specific person in a very specific, you know, point in time, but the principle remains the same. We as Christians are to download this into our network. We need to be taking in the Word on a regular basis. This is our means of answers for life. This is the way that we gain wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 says that the wisdom of God is vastly different from the wisdom of man. There's a lot of life wisdom that we can gain from even the secular arena. We can gain wisdom in how to handle insurances and how to build credit and how to, you know, do certain things. But the way that we gain true wisdom that's going to sustain us through life, and the way that we gain wisdom, the way that we gain God's wisdom, is through the Word. We grow in our knowledge of who God is, and we grow in the knowledge of who we are. The way that we gain knowledge and understanding is through the Word. This is the thing that we weigh everything else against. This is the way that we sustain ourselves through the rest of our lives. And to negate the Word is to negate my opportunity at growing in wisdom, that I would make good decisions for the rest of my life, that I would make decisions that will affect my eternity in a positive way instead of a negative way. But the promise is that if I will meditate on it, if I will stick with it, if I will continually download it, and if I'll be careful to implement biblical principle into my life, that I'll be prosperous and I'll be successful in the things that I do. That doesn't negate the fact that the Lord's going to take us into hard seasons. But there's promise of prosperity and success in my life and my walk with the Lord. And this is, again, this is not to suggest financial prosperity of the nth degree. It's the way that the Lord prospers us. It's the way that He chooses to prosper us. But there is prosper and success. Just going down to the next. We take a firm approach in the knowledge of the Word, and thus we grow in the knowledge of God. But next we implement. To think that I can grow in all the knowledge that I could possibly attain in the Word, but implement not a thing of it into my lifestyle is deception. That'll completely leave me... It'll leave me undone. You have the next one, please. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom, or law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So we know this word. And we know that we're supposed to implement the word into our lives. I mean, this is a very real thing. We know that there's a specific Christian lifestyle for us to live. And we know that we see how it's done and how it's lived out in the Word. But our negation of studying the Word to determine how my life is supposed to live, my negation of the implementation of the Word once I know it, leaves me null and void of the biblical promises that are associated with it. There's promise if I will live according to the Word. There's promise of peace, there's promise of freedom, there's promise of prosperity and success, there's promise of healing. I mean, there's promise after promise after promise, but they don't come if I don't implement. They don't come if I don't put my words into action. If I don't look intently into it and start living it out. We go down to the next one, please. So as a part of creation, we're limited beings. And one of our limitations is our mental capacity. I mean, the capacity that we have versus anything else in creation is astounding, and that's really, really amazing. But we're still limited as a part of creation. We have a mental capacity specifically regarding our memory that's limited. And if we don't continuously soak ourselves in things, we have such a tendency of forgetting them entirely. And one of the things regarding beliefs and belief systems, if I don't maintain myself grounded in my foundation of what I believe and why I believe it, I leave myself open to believing false things, and I leave myself open to veering from a solid foundation and rooting other things. One of the things that has been so striking to me through the years is things that I consider false and that I know they're false. Things that I hear, things that we hear and that we meditate on, we could hear 10 false things and throw them out completely and say those are entirely false and I'm not going to believe them. But as I'm continuously bathed in these things, little seeds are planted and they come back into fruition. And when the Lord really got a hold of me, I grew up in the church, but when I really started living for the Lord, I backtracked on almost everything I believed, and most of it I couldn't root in the Word. Most of it was because that was what everybody else thought. Most of it was because that's what I was taught and by this preacher, by this spiritual leader, by this person. And in most all of those circumstances, those people were using the Bible to teach me those things. So I wrote it off as being rooted in the Word. But some of the things that maybe I was taught, some of the things that I believed, I don't consider to be truth anymore. Some of the things I don't even believe anymore. So to think that I would have lived my entire life basing my knowledge, basing my sense of truth, basing my belief systems off of concepts that somebody else gave me, and having any type of firm foundation to hold on, I was completely deceiving myself. And to think that I could stand before Jesus one day and say, I did this because this person told me to, and I did this because that person told me to, and I did this because that person. I think that He'll say, I gave you the Holy Spirit and I gave you the Word. I gave you every means of attaining all the truth that you could possibly need in this life. Why didn't you do it yourself? Why didn't you spend the time? Why didn't you turn the TV off? Why didn't you stop having fun for a little while and implement some things into your life that were going to last you a long time, that were going to take you into prosperity in the eternal life? I mean, there's absolutely no substitute for this. It's something that we have to pursue rigorously and that we have to continue to pursue for the rest of our lives. The knowledge of the Word and the knowledge of God. This verse, Proverbs 2, 3 through 5. The previous one, please. If it's there. Not there? Okay. Let me find it. It's Proverbs 19:27. It says, stop listening to instruction and you will stray from words of knowledge. Stop listening to instruction and you will stray from words of knowledge. Again, we have such a tendency of forgetfulness. You know, there's different times that probably all of us have taken a look at like a third grader's math homework and couldn't, you know, wouldn't know any difference from that math homework from anything else. It's like we learn things, you know, long, long, long time ago, and we forget the information if it's not continually rooted in our lives, because we're always learning, we're always perceiving, we're always taking in information, and we're limited. We have limited memory capabilities. So if we don't continually instruct ourselves, and if we're not staying rooted in the Word, if we're not staying rooted in our means of truth, we'll stray. It could be one thing or many things. I remember growing up with very specific guidelines that I knew biblically were very real to me, and that there was a specific things that I could do and that I could not do as a Christian. And after a long time of pushing the Word aside and a long time of disconnecting myself from the body and a long time of other things, I started to feel much less convicted. There's kind of a sequence to falling into deception, to falling into believing things that are not rooted, to believing things that are false. We become tolerant first. I start tolerating things that I know are wrong. I start tolerating things that are not biblical or that are morally wrong or whatever the case. And it hurts when I do it. I'm convicted. After a while, I continue to tolerate it. It doesn't really hurt anymore. Now I still kind of know that it's wrong, but I'm calloused over. I don't feel anything anymore. Post that, I start believing things that are, I start believing that it's okay. And I look at specific areas in my life, and this was so much the case. I knew that they were wrong, and 2-3 years later, I thought that they were okay, and I based my belief system off of anything. Today's a new day and age. This is what makes sense. And my belief system became so ungrounded and unrooted on anything other than my opinions and than the opinions of those around me, that I led myself into deception because I didn't stay grounded. Well-intending believers with sincere hearts will do this if they don't stay grounded. This is just, it's such a problematic area that we have. It's just so crucially important that we stay rooted. This verse, Proverbs 2, 3 through 5, we all know this well. If you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, which elsewhere is said to be the beginning of wisdom, and find the knowledge of God. So we have promise that if we search, we'll find. That if we give ourselves intentionally, searching for it as for silver, if we'll make this a main priority of our life, that we'll come into a right understanding, we'll develop a right worldview. We'll be so far away from falsities and false truths. We'll be so rooted in truth that we'll be able to detect false things immediately. We'll be able to root and route our lives in a correct direction and maintain these things. It's a bold promise, but it takes perseverance and it takes our continual push towards. And we won't be shaken and blown every which way. Again, when I'm not truly rooted and grounded, I come to this church and I go to other ministries and I study at DBU and I go here and I go there and I hear all of these varying ideas and I get confused and I get distraught and I get discouraged and it just makes me want to give up. I was having breakfast with a good buddy of mine this morning who is going to another school and currently a part of another church. And he was talking to me about this and he was saying, I come home and I get downloaded with all of this information that this group believes, and then I go back to my church down there, and they believe about things a little bit differently. And they see this verse, and they don't get the same interpretation. And they feel differently about this, and they feel differently about that. And he said, it's so discouraging. I don't know what to believe. I don't know where to throw my lot and what to pursue. I don't know if I should throw my lot in with them, if they're completely wrong, or if both of them are right, and I should pursue both. And the encouragement is that, again, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit and He gives us this Word and He'll reveal it to us if we'll instruct ourselves in it. Now, there's a lot of ways that we develop our theology. Actually, there's not. There's a few ways that we develop our theology, but all of them root back to the Word. All of them are governed by the Word. So my intention for today wasn't to teach anything particularly new, but just to bring a fresh vision of growing in the Lord and challenge us to continue pursuing a depth of knowledge in the Word and a depth of knowledge in the Lord. Again, we live for the Lord, and so our worldview affects everything. The way that you believe the world turns, your view of reality affects every decision that you make in life. And a misconceived view of who God is a tainted worldview, and it disables us from making righteous decisions in this life. You know, we want to partner with the Lord and we want to experience the biblical promises. But that requires the implementation of the biblical lifestyle, and it requires us growing in the knowledge of God. I so want to grow to be wise and to be mature, to be a mature believer, to be mature in my knowledge of the Word, my knowledge of truth, and in my knowledge of God. And there's not many things that are more important than our continual growth in the Lord. You see it through, if you read the New Testament, if you read the Old Testament with this lens of growing in the Lord. Paul told Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine carefully. Watch them carefully. Be watchful. Be guarded. Continuously bathe yourself in truth that you won't give yourself over to anything that's false. Continually intake it so that you won't swerve from the right path, so that you won't swerve from walking in a manner that's in accordance with the Lord's path and with the Lord's purpose for our lives. It's so important that we maintain our pursuit of the Word. I'm going to pray for us. Y'all can stand or sit. And then we're going to get out of here. Father, I just ask that You would give us vision for our lives, Lord. That You would show us what these next few years of our lives need to look like, Lord. And I ask that You would stir us to implement into the next few years of our lives, Lord, a fierce pursuit of growing in the knowledge of who You are by growing in the knowledge of the Word. We want to mature to become well-rounded believers, Lord, that You can use us in any which way, that You can use us to the full potential that You intend to. As You have specific callings on every life, Lord, I ask that You would grow each person into a great knowledge of who You are, that You would stir us, give us perseverance, passion, Lord, and endurance to continue pressing through even when it's boring, Even when we're, it seems dead, and it seems dull, and it seems dry, Lord, would you give us vision of continuing to pursue the knowledge of the Word, that we would continue to pursue our knowledge of who You are. We want to grow, Lord. We want our hearts to be in the right place. And we want to live in accordance with Your purpose. Guard us, Lord, from falling off. Guard us from believing things that are false. Guard us from buying into all of the varying ideas that are floating around in this nation and the world today, God. Root us in the Word and maintain us through it for the rest of our lives. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it. So if y'all mind, take conversation outside. We're going to kind of break down the room and get ready to go. God bless you guys.